And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach, Anthony Sylvester on the other side. Andrew's over there. You got everybody over there. Because like Matt said, everybody knows it's smoothie day. So they all stick around.
Everybody knows.
734-988-1050. 734-988-1050. After hearing Ed Warner's interview with the press yesterday and hearing Angelique Shingalis, do you believe that the offensive line will get better progressively each and every week where it competes against these, I'm going to say, elite Power 5 teams? The Big Ten East, really. And one of the teams in the West, Wisconsin. Do you believe that? Do you have a belief now, Matt? You feeling it? You heard what Coach Warner was saying?
Well, I felt it before. I still feel it now. But I, again, just pointing out some of the things that he said, you know, one thing that I think is big, and, you know, I wanted you to kind of comment on it, is he talked about, again, how the players are on that offensive line are learning not only about what they need to do in their job, but how them doing their job affects everybody else on that offensive line.
Sure. Yeah.
And so could you tell us as a player, because I imagine same thing as a running back. I mean, you know what you have to do as a running back, but when did it click for you, the bigger scheme of the offense that you were, not just your individual, okay, this guy is coming down, and so I need to take the inside guy, but again, how it affects the whole offense?
It really didn't hit me until my junior year. I mean, I told you, at freshman year, I ran scared. I ran because big boys were chasing me.
Hey, man,
me,
okay? I appreciate the honest answer from you over there. Because some people would say, oh, it clicked right away. No. I came in. When you're the all-time leading rusher as a freshman, I can imagine people say, or most people would assume that oh, it clicked for Jamie quicker than it clicked for everybody else.
If you watch me run, I'm running the daylight. And I see an opening, I'm taking it. Even though that's not the hole, and I got tackled quicker. As I learned more, then probably my sophomore year, sophomores always think they know everything once they get past, into, you leave your freshman year, oh, I already know what's going to happen.
I already done this.
Exactly. So you regress a little bit because you think you know everything until the coaches let you know, stop reading the papers and take your head out of the clouds, get your feet on the ground. And then you became that, you know, okay, got to learn, keep learning, keep learning. Then it started to click my junior year. You start doing the studying that the coaches want you to do. You start watching the film the coaches want you to do. You watch film, and you've heard Thomas Gwines talk about it. You watch film the right way. You study film. You don't watch it anymore. You study it. You know, you're looking for those things that the coaches have pointed out on film when you're in the coach's room. But now you're studying on your own. You're in there watching that film. Now they have iPads and everything like that where they can send them all of the clips and everything like that. But back in my day, we set the film up ourselves and we watched it ourselves and watched how the offensive line blocked and what that call was. And you listened for that call because it told the fullback and you, the tailback, what you were going to do, what you might see. So pay attention. Take your time, but get there in a hurry. That was the saying. Take your time, but get there in a hurry.
Yeah. And also, you know, I was just thinking about it as you were talking a little bit. I mean, that offensive line group, that's the biggest group out of anyone on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receivers, sometimes you have four out there, but never right. Five. Defensive backs with the two corners and two safeties. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we adjust, but for guys that are consistently on the field, I mean, there's no bigger group than five.
No, you're right.
Those offensive linemen, you might have a few guys in the backfield, a few guys split, but that offensive line group, and also Coach Warner talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, they don't get to hit as much in practice as they used to.
No, they're
don't have two-a-days, no, things like that.
You don't get to hit. You don't get to do the things. Now, sure, they may have a few sessions that they hit the bags and but they're not trying to hit each other as much as we used to do it because we thought it was a different way. Now there's a different way of doing things. You don't You probably steer away from being live with players. Sure, it's going to happen, but you're not doing it as much.
But also, with any other position group, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, on the defensive side of the ball, the secondary, linebackers, there are other things that you can do in practice that can that can't replicate anything in the game, but they can. There's things that you can learn from it. You can learn running routes without having it be a full contact drill for those wide receivers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As an offensive lineman, you can't. I mean, you can learn a little bit, but you need to be going full speed against those guys coming at you. Otherwise, mm-hmm. You won't be able to put these teachings into practice.
Right, and that. But you heard what Coach Warner was saying. They put them in situational plays, like it's third and two. You're okay. We're gonna run this ISO play. What do you do? And you got to know what you're gonna do. And they changed the defenses, so they're not running that same defense that was over the guy that was in front of you or the guy behind you or anything like that. So you may not be getting game speed, but you're getting the mental rep. You're getting all of the picture, except for it's not game speed. So you take that from your muscle memory. And you replicate that when you get into games. And it's guys that learn this over time. Like he said, there's guys they're rotating guys in there all the time for the first team. So it's not like they're not getting it. There's 8 to 9 guys that are rotating in and out of the first team. So, you know, there in case something
and
happens
not,
to someone,
yeah, not necessarily
you got somebody.
Getting even snaps.
Right.
Again, I believe he talks about Hudson and Mayfield both getting about 25% of the snaps with the first team.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, when you're in a situation which, I mean, offensive linemen, the way that, I mean, they can be doing everything right, but, oh, they get rolled up on.
Yeah.
This happens. I mean, that's an area where you can see injuries happen quite often. It's nice to know that, yeah, once Hudson would come running off the bench or Mayfield comes running off the mm-hmm. bench, it's not the first time you're seeing that guy next to you.
Right. Now, a lot of people, they look at this game against SMU, an 0-2 team. They're going to say, oh, this is basically this and this. No, it's basically, it is your schedule. And again, you came out and everybody was saying that this was one of the college football's toughest schedules. You're in third game.
But
yes, you get a lot of work. You get a lot of work done. You're going to get a lot of reps, good reps, in a game situation. You got to take advantage of that. That's why as an offensive lineman, that's any player on the field, you get a chance to get on that field, you go at game speed, and you give everything you got because it's going to stick out. It's going to show on film.
And Jamie, in just in the climate of college football and the society we live in today, style points matter. And again, even if, say, last week, say Michigan comes out and say we only win 17-7 last week against Western Michigan.
There's a lot of people upset.
There's a lot of people who are really angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you even might have said something, but there was a lot of people who made the comment about Ball State and Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
That was a close game, and I said, hey, that's a hangover game. They put a lot into that Michigan game.
Oh, they put everything they had into that Michigan game.
And also, you're feeling very confident because everyone's telling you you're the greatest thing since
exactly.
sliced bread.
You
just beat
that.
Your rival. So, to me, I look at that and I say, that's not that. I mean, of course, they should have won by more, but it's not that big a deal because you expect it.
Right. And the coaches do expect that. And I'm sure Brian Kelly thought that was going to happen. Not to that extreme. He didn't think it was going to come down to that. They would hang around. Ball State would hang around for a while, but they would get away. Ball State stayed in that game. And Notre Dame helped them stay in that game. But Notre Dame, look, those players gave what they could. But, I mean, you're coming off of the celebrations, the party. We everybody's telling them they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you guys are elite. So you got to fight all of that from a mental standpoint as well. Bring that body up and try to get back to that point of intensity where you were when you played Michigan. And that's the thing. You got to get back up. So every time you play a game like Michigan, everybody told them you're not as bad. You're pretty good. This week, they've got to fight that and be ready and be at that level of intensity, the same intensity, if not more, against SMU, because you got to fight that. SMU is going to come in here and see that winged helmet and say, we got a chance if we can get, if we can hang around. You don't want anybody, you don't want any hang arounders. Can't have anybody hang around. Don't want no hang arounders, because then they start to believe. They start to feel it.
And then the pressure flips the other way, where all of a sudden it's on that team that's the favorite.
Right. 734-998-1050. Let's go to JJ in Lincoln Park. What up, JJ?
Well, James Walter Morris, it sounds like Brian Kelly and his Notre Dame Fighting Irish munched on a lot of cheesecake after that Michigan victory then.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that, JJ.
All right. I'm munching on a cheesecake. Anyways, Jamie, I'm excited because when I wake up tomorrow morning, I will wake up, eat breakfast. I'm going to head over to the mean state of Illinois.
Uh-oh.
The one team I always hated when I was back in school, the Fighting Illini with Mike White and all them cheaters. And I'm adopting my new little friend, Mr. Elliot, my new, he's not a puppy, he'll be 9 years old. So I'm going to have a new dog tomorrow, and I'm excited. So there's going to be a new playmate for my huddle every night.
Wow.
And I'm going to be excited. And I'll still stick to my story, and that is, this team's offensive line will go as Cesar Ruiz goes. If he's all Big Ten, we will have a Big Ten championship, or at least going to Indianapolis. And I'm going to stick by that. So far, he started two games, and I think he's equated himself well. I don't know if he's all Big Ten caliber yet, but, you know, we still got 10 more games to go before Indianapolis. And I expect that man to exceed expectations of what most people do. And I see nothing but success ahead for my vaunted Wolverines. Go Blue, baby.
Thanks for the call, JJ. Appreciate that. Well, he's right. And if you look at tradition and you look at the offensive lines, if the center is all Big Ten, usually, you got an all Big Ten line. You got an you got a few All Americans on that line. You got guys coming together, and that's what they need for this offensive line. It needs to come together, like
most,
I said,
most important position out there. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people will say, "Oh, that tackle guard, especially that left tackle guard, in the mm-hmm. quarterback's blind side." If you have a good center calling a good game up front, because
right.
again, you know, a lot of times the quarterback, he gets credit being the general on the field. A lot of times that middle linebacker gets credit for being the general of the defense, but center, they're the one making all the calls up front. They're the ones making the adjustments, where, again, if you have a good center calling a good game up front, that means a world of difference on that offensive line.
No, it does. And that's a good call by JJ. I like what he said. Cesar, again, point out, this is his second. That was his second game he played center. Really? I mean, everybody who wants to give, you know, say this isn't a great offensive line, you haven't given it a chance yet. You haven't really given it a chance. I know they've been in, but they're all playing different positions right now, all of them. And the coaches feel good. You heard what Ed Warner said. Michael Winwell, doing good. Cesar Ruiz, doing good. Bredesen, the best one out there on the field. Still working with the tackles. And the young guys are coming along, getting better each and every week, like that. So, look, when I look at the SMU game, another chance for everybody to get better. It's the way I look at it.
Well, and we've been talking a lot about how consistency in that offensive line and the fact that these guys have started to play a few games together. Tell us, from a running back's perspective, what it means when you get accustomed to those guys who are in front of you. Because, you know, again, some of these guys played on the line last year, but some of them were in different positions. Some of those guys are gone. From a running back's perspective, what does it mean when you become more familiar with that offensive line?
Well, once you get familiar with the offensive line, you can come to what to expect on certain plays, what they're going to do.
Almost before it even happens.
Right. And look, as soon as they learn their calls and they know their calls, I'm telling you what, when Jumbo Elliott start making calls instead of what is it, a six or a four? What do you call it up there? I don't mean to call him out. But
oh, yeah, you do.
I'm just saying. But when he made a call and he made it definitively, that fullback knew what he had to do. That tight end knew what he had to do. And I can anticipate, but I had to watch which way his butt swung, because it told me I'm outside or I'm inside. So then you go to your next read, but you knew what he was calling. And you had to listen to that center make the call first and tell everybody where the mic was, where this was, everything. But if you got a smart offensive line that is making the right calls and knowing, I mean, let's just ask Caron Higdon from last week, and let's ask Chris Evans how they felt. They weren't getting hit as much. They ran loose. Nothing. As I said, when you play in big games, you get tense.
You want to do such a good job. And again, we talk about, Jamie, we've been talking about that Notre Dame game since the bowl game ended last year.
Right.
9 months we were talking about that game.
But you as a running back, as a quarterback, as an offensive line group, I get it, but don't tense up. You know what I'm saying? You want to play hard, but you gotta let it go.
Easier said than done, my friend, as you know, because you've been out there doing it. You had games where you tensed up when you probably shouldn't have.
Sure, but I figured it out. You got to figure it out with each other. Let's play loose. Let's play loose. We played in the number one, number two game against Iowa my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Coach Bo. And Coach Bo came in the locker room and said, Coach Hayden Fry, he plays, he gets like this. That means his butt gets tight, okay? I'm giving a signal, the okay sign, but he plays like this. I'm playing like this, man. And I'm giving the big hole sign. Hey, I'm playing loose. I'm good. I'm going to let it fly. And he did. We didn't tense up. We played loose. It was a great game. Things could have went our way. The things could have went their way. In the end, they kick a field goal to win. It was a sad day for us, but hey. But we did play loose. That's the thing. I'm saying, don't look.
Well,
I get it.
You mentioned that, you know, you, again, I don't know if it was on the air or when we were talking, you have a lot of confidence in Caron Higdon.
Sure,
You told me that a number of times. Being a running back, you have a lot of confidence in him. And you said you thought he looked a little tight that first game.
Yeah.
And that you guessed, you're like, I bet you he looks loose. I bet you he runs. He's at home. Mm-hmm. We're playing Western. You told me, I bet he looks loose this week. And obviously he did.
Right. You got to play. You know what your guys are going to do up front. You got to have confidence in your guys. Because they're the guys that are going to block in front of you. Just have confidence in them. Because they're working hard for you. That's what you're doing. 734-988-1050. Let's go to Brock in West Bloomfield. What up, Brock?
What up, J-Mo? How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing well. I just want you to know, J-Mo, last Friday was Radio Gold with you and Sam Webb. That was one of the funniest things, with him calling you a fake vegetarian. You like, well, at least I got some football stories. Pure football. That was pure radio gold right there.
Wait a minute. I'm glad you enjoyed that, Brock. I really do. You know what? I can't let nobody call me a fake vegetarian. First of all, I'm a plant-based, and it's a choice, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. And if you choose to eat bacon, then you choose to eat bacon.
Exactly. That's my business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That right there is my business. And then you're going to try to put me on blast so the special someone that I have in my life could hear all of that. And you know what? That's cool, too, because I done already told her I'd like some candied bacon. I ain't worried about that. You know?
No, I understand. It was just funny, J-Mo. And I saw the show had tweeted out that Joe Klatt talking about the AP poll.
Yeah, what you think, man?
I got to be honest with you, J-Mo. Joe Klatt is my favorite national analyst when it comes to college football because I think he's pretty level-headed. He doesn't let his pendulum swing too far one way or the other like some of these other analysts does. But I agree with him because you can ask – Matt, when I called his show Sunday with him and Miz, I told them, Clemson hasn't looked good to me. You're supposed to have four first-round D-line picks, and they only had two sacks for the game, Joe?
They was balling in the first quarter, though, but that's the first quarter.
Yeah, it's 60 minutes, Jay. I know that. So if we were just basing games off of that, but I'm just saying, so I agree with him. But you and when you and Marcus used to be on there, you used to talk about not having polls till later in the year.
Yeah, October. End of October.
Until you know what teams are about. We still don't know what.
Hold on, Brock. We're a little over Matt's head because he don't do Twitter too much. So Joe Clack uh-huh. put out there that, you know, maybe the AP poll, college football should do away with the AP poll. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, there's no poll that really matters besides the playoff poll, right?
No, that the AP poll.
No.
The AP poll sets the tone for the season.
But it's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant once the real poll starts. But right now,
so again, we have a real poll that comes out halfway through the year. So, it might not be. Did they talk at all about the coaches' poll as well?
No, they didn't talk about it. He said AP.
How would you feel about it if there was? Because it's pretty much for us to talk about before the year, for us in the media to talk about, to scrutinize, to fill up airtime.
You know what? Here's my take on it. And I'm sorry, Brock. I'm gonna let you finish in a few minutes. Here's my take on it. Look, it gives the people what they want. They want to know on a regular basis, in real time, what the media thinks. The media, it makes the media relevant, really. And that's what the AP poll is. A media poll. After they get done on Saturday, as Angelique, I got done at the stadium at 3 a.m. in the morning. Okay, I got you. Then she gets to cast her vote, and you get to see it, how she felt about the rest of the game she saw. Okay, so it's just, does it really matter? No, but you find out where the media thinks everybody is in college football. And you know what? It keeps people happy. It keeps people interested. That's all you care about. That's me. I mean, it just keeps people's interest, college football interest. That's what we want, right? I mean, it feeds into that monster that we've created in college football.
After we get out of spring ball, what are we waiting for? That's the next thing that comes out is, all right, where are the preseason rankings going to be?
That's true.
Exactly.
But as long as Saban is there, Alabama's going to be number one every year.
That's a true statement.
It's pretty much
we got to knock them off. We got to be the ones, J-Mo.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm telling you,
that's going to be the internal conflict for J-Mo.
What?
Is that Michigan plays Bama in the playoff?
That's not tough. You know,
I know, J-Mo. I'm teasing with you.
Brock, you know he's showing up with his Michigan jersey, but he's going to have that Bama shirt on underneath.
I'll have one in my bag when I need to.
As soon as the game's done and Bama wins, it's Roll Tide, Roll Tide.
J-Mo be like, Roll Tide? I told y'all that's my team, too, so I really didn't lose. My number two team won, so I really didn't lose. But real quick, J-Mo, I just say this. I agree with you. It's the meat that all the fans want.
Right.
But at the end of the day, J-Mo, a lot of these AP voters, they don't see all these games. And like Joe brought up, you giving Florida State a top 25 vote? How bad they look. And they've had two home games, J-Mo. We ain't even talking about they haven't been on the road yet.
Yeah, they're going to get eaten alive. Willie may wanted to stay up in Ogden.
Oh yeah. No, that's not looking too good, J-Mo. If the natives don't down south, the natives get restless real quick.
Well, all that good loving he was getting, he ain't getting it no more.
Oh no, that went out the door. Like, hey, after that Virginia Tech performance, people was like, oh, maybe Vitek is a little better experienced quarterback. Blah blah, but after this past game, that rope thing got tight, and one of my predictions might not come true either. J-Mo, do you remember what coach I told you was going to be the first to get fired?
Oh,
Ed Orgeron.
Yes, you said, oh, hey, LSU ain't bad.
No, LSU ain't bad. So I might have to go on and go a little due east because Florida State, if Willie Taggart don't get it together.
Come on, you don't think they're going to. It's 1 year for Willie, though. Willie
got to give him at least three.
They got to give him three.
That's their boy.
He's one of them. Remember, Brock, he's one of them.
No, that's true. But Kevin Sumlin at Arizona.
Oh, he gone. He gone after this year. He only gets this year. Although, I mean, look, let me see. He keep his nose clean. And he keeps those kids under wraps. And there's no real craziness going on. He can stay on for 2-3 years. I think so. But hey, okay. He got to win 6 games this year. I don't know where they come from.
Oh, he got to win 6. I don't know where they coming from either, but that didn't look good. And if Herm turned their ASU around, that's really going to be a bad look.
Yeah. Herm looked crazy, act crazy, but he's fooling all of us, isn't he?
Method to that madness.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hold on, J-Mo, and I'll say this. That was the best clock management ever by a coach. At the end of a game.
Yes.
I told Matt, I stayed up till 2 in the morning just because I kept getting a feeling in my stomach that Michigan State was going to lose. It was well worth staying up.
I had to go to sleep, but it did give me the alert. I got the alert from the phone that it says Michigan State stunned by Arizona State. I went like this. Wow. I'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm going to sleep. So.
All right, J-Mo. All right,
thanks, Brock. Appreciate it. 734-998-1050. Let's go to Mark in Plymouth. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Jamie Morris. How you doing?
I'm good, Mark. How you doing?
Good. Listen, I got a story to tell you about the ever-sharp Bobby Thorne Blake.
Oh, okay.
The ever-sharp Blake. Well, nobody knows this, but or not many people do, but his senior year, he broke his foot and didn't play very much. At Old Plymouth High School, and he was recruited because of his junior year, and he had an all-league, all-suburban six unanimous selection tackle in front of him, all-league end, all-league guard, and an all-league center. So we're the reason why Bo went after him. So I just wanted to let him know. Just tell him big old number 74 said that.
I will let him know that. I appreciate you calling in, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, we go way back, and I didn't get recruited by Bo because I didn't do a good job in the classroom. So, anyhow, I like to give Thorny rattle his cage every now and then. And I was on the show Sunday after the Notre Dame game, and they told me that Thorny still calls in.
Come on. Hey, that's the man that brought me here. Where if I got a radio show anywhere, he will always be on my show.
Yeah, I know that he did recruit you. Now, he coached the receivers for a while, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he coached Anthony, I believe, right?
That's a correct statement, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, when will you hear from him again?
Probably Friday. That's when he comes on. Listen on Friday.
Okay, now, do you take calls?
It's free phone Friday, so yeah.
Okay, when he's on, you take calls.
I do.
I hear he dominates.
Oh, you won't get a word in edgewise, but we'll let you.
Oh, yeah, I will. when he knows his old tackle is on the line, he'll let me in. He'll want to hear from me.
Okay, well, Mark. I will set this up. This is going to be a beautiful reunion. I look forward to it. Thank you for the phone call. I can't wait to hear from you tomorrow. We need to go to a break, but when we come back, callers still keep calling. We'll come right back to you. Listening to the M Zone.